Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
From the Hidden Killers Podcast, I'm Stacey Cole. Brian Koberger was back in court for a hearing on a potential change of venue for his capital murder trial. Let's go now to the courtroom.
The world focuses on human bias, right? Okay. And you talked to us about media exposure and how that forms bias. Are bias and forming an opinion, you're willing to say, different things?
Bias can come from lots of things, one of which is an opinion that was formed, and then bias can shape another opinion that gets formed, if that answers your question.
It does. Thank you. You talked to us a little bit earlier about how that bias gets formed. And then you told us sometimes we won't be able to spit out our entire bias or what we looked at to form bias. Is there a danger in a case like this where there's been a lot of media coverage that somehow we seek a jury, but they start remembering things they read in the paper and trying to make the evidence fit into that filter?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, so Dr. Edelman's report, I remember, said that, you know, people didn't list everything that they recalled, but when they were prompted to ask about indicate whether they remembered specific things, then they remembered a whole bunch of things. And the same thing would happen during a trial, right? Those retrieval cues, anything that reminds you of something. So our minds have kind of an association network. You know, all of our memories are sort of connected in some way. You could just mention the word white, and maybe I think of snow. You know, so our memories can come up from so many things that I would be surprised if there weren't some memories rekindled.
Thank you. That's it for me.
Thanks, Ms. Taylor. Any more questions?
No, thank you, Your Honor. Okay.
And you made this witness be excused?
She makes.
All right. And you're in no objection to that.
You're
all good. Thank you. You're free to stay.
Okay.
Or leave. All right. Thank you very much. That was very interesting.
Thank you.
Okay, next witness.
Next witness is Dr. Brian Edelman.
Okay. Dr. Edelman. All right. Welcome back. Can you raise your right hand?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you give in this case shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury.
I do. All right. Please have a seat, and then please State your name and spell your last.
I'm going to speak slow today, I promise. So, Brian Edelman, E-Z-E-L-M-A-N.
Sir, go ahead, stand up.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Edelman, I see that you brought some things to council table with you.
I did.
What do you have?
It's just a copy of my presentation.
Your PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah.
Okay. And is that face down? Perfect. Will you let me know if you need to flip it over to refresh your memory?
I can tell you the second you start, I won't be able to see anything, so never need it.
Okay. Your Honor and counsel, then I'll ask if he can leave his PowerPoint presentation face up so he can help us understand his testimony. No objection to that.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. Let's start with your background.
Just going back how far? I'm a child.
Well, let's start with what you do right now and then work backwards and forwards. How about that?
Okay. I'm a trial consultant. So in that capacity, I'm often in a courtroom doing jury selections and assisting with that, running jury questionnaires, helping attorneys craft the role of voir dire questions. And I also do pretrial research. So that's focus groups and mock trials. And then I also do post-trial interviews. And do a lot of presentations and writing in terms of trying to educate or help the legal community. And then I also serve as an expert witness in this capacity. And in that scenario, I'm often focusing on pretrial publicity, the impact of pretrial publicity, and whether or not a defendant's due process rights may have been undermined by media coverage. And I also do post-conviction work, which kind of ties into that, where I might be brought in to look at a case to see if there was a lot of media coverage and whether or not there should have been a change of venue or a request for a change of venue, and looking at the adequacy of voir dire to uncover what jurors knew. So that's kind of reviewing the voir dire transcripts and use of challenges, that sort of thing.
How long have you been doing that work?
That part? Since, I think the first one, maybe like 2011, 2012, something like that.
Where do you do that work? What company?
So all over the place. So all over the country in state and federal cases, in Florida, Michigan, Washington, D.C., Idaho, California, Texas, New York, a bunch of others. So quite a bit.
How were you educated to do the work then?
So I have a background in social psychology. So a PhD in social psychology from the University of Nevada, Reno, which is a program that really focused on psychology and law. That's where the Judicial College is, and something called the Grant Sawyer Center for Justice Studies. Am I going slow? Or I do it better? Okay. And while there, I worked at the Grant Sawyer Center for Justice Studies as well, and did research on the death penalty, so on pretrial release programs, and the impact of media coverage, so kind of similar to this. And when I finished that, I went to England and got an LLM in international humanitarian law, and then came back here and started working at a trial consulting firm. I think I started in 2004. That sounds about right. 2000, I think. And then started my own or co-founded Trial Innovations, where I am now, with a business partner in 2011.
Do you do any teaching? About your
teaching? So I do like CLE classes and things like that for bar associations. I've done it for public defenders, for district attorney's offices. I've been like a visiting lecturer at like different law schools, at the ASTC, which is the American Society of Trial Consultants. Did classes on like trial consulting and change of venue. I think I've done one at APLS, which is like the American Psychology Association, a legal society. And I'm sure there's some others out there too. APE, ABOTA is one, and that might be more on like jury selection. That's like a legal organization.
Are you a member of any organizations, professional organizations specific to your work?
Currently, I don't think I'm a member of ASTC, which is American Society of Trial Consultants, but I might have forgot to pay my dues this year, so maybe not.
Are you usually a member of that organization?
Yeah. And same with APLS, that's all.
What APL is again?
That's the American Psychology Association, and it's the Legal Society Division. And then I also do for like the ASTC, I've been on like a committee that helps write some of the professional guidelines, particularly around change of venue.
And I understand you do consultant work. Do you testify as an expert?
Yes.
What states?
Roughly? What states?
Roughly.
Okay. Kind of the ones I mentioned earlier. I'm sure there's more. So Florida, Michigan, California, Washington State, Washington, D.C., Texas, Idaho. Wish I had a map in front of me right now. Tennessee, Georgia, Minnesota. And I'm sure there's others, but it's been a long time. So I've done a bunch of, I've probably done over 100 that I've been retained on for some, in some capacity related to pretrial publicity in both state and federal cases.
I heard you mention Idaho. You've testified as an expert in Idaho, is that right?
I have.
How about in this case? Have you testified before in this case?
In this case?
Yes.
I did.
All right.
Yes.
Last time we were here, we were talking about a survey that was in progress.
Yes.
So have you now completed your survey?
Yes. So I completed the survey in Latah County and then conducted several comparison surveys after that hearing in Ada County, Bannock County, and Canyon County.
Before we get to all of those, I'm going to start a PowerPoint presentation that you've provided for us today so you can walk me through the process of what you do and how that works. Give me just one moment.
Sure. I'm going to flip this over then.
Thank you for that, for the patience. I think we have it now. Will you give us a an overview of what we're going to talk about today?
Yes. So the presentation is broken down into three parts. So the first part is just kind of a cursory review of some of the social science research, some of the basic general research, foundational research, and then research specific to pretrial publicity and juror decision-making. And then to get into the actual change of venue analysis, which focuses on the media coverage, so the extent and nature of the coverage, and in addition to whether or not that coverage has had any impact on the jury pool. So that really gets into the survey. And the last part gets into the unique challenges that cases like this pose when we talk about jury selection. So is what you're an effective remedy in cases like this, when there's been a lot of media coverage and people have a lot of knowledge about the case.
I heard you say cases like this. What do you mean?
Sorry, when I say what?
Cases like this.
Oh, cases that have a lot of media coverage. So in a normal case, like a car accident or something like that, people come in, they might have general attitudes about drinking and driving, but they don't have case-specific attitudes about this person that are well-developed from information I know about the evidence and the person and so on. When you have a case like this, people come into the courtroom with case-specific attitudes that are well-developed and based on, it could be emotional information, it could be evidence that they already have read, seen, or heard. So they have very well-developed attitudes. So that's a unique thing because they're no longer blank slates when they're hearing evidence. They're confirming what they already know, as opposed to jurors who don't know anything and are learning and building attitudes and knowledge structures as they go.
All right. Let's go to the background of why we do this, why this matters.
Yeah. So there's decades of research in general documenting the impact of pretrial publicity on decision making, and it kind of falls into two areas. So there's what we call field research, which is kind of similar to like a change of venue survey. So people are exposed to pretrial publicity in a naturally occurring setting. I read the newspaper, I, you know, watch it on the news or on the news while I'm cooking dinner, whatever it may be. And so we see natural exposure and we're able to assess the impact of that coverage on pretrial opinions. But there's some limitations to that. We can't really learn how pretrial publicity impacts decisions. And we can't really learn the types of pretrial publicity that are most impactful and whether or not remedial measures like an admonition or voir dire mitigate the impact it has. That's where experimental research comes in because it's a controlled setting and we can test things like what types of pretrial publicity are most prejudicial how does pretrial publicity impact decisions and things like do remedies work and so on.
Do you have an example to help me understand maybe the difference starting with field research?
Sure. So the one we're looking at here is one of the earlier pieces that was published. And it looked at three cases that were high profile cases in California. One involved the murder of two police officers. I think it was in Yolo County. And then the murder of a dental hygienist from a prominent family. So it was the status of the victim was important in that. And then I believe the third one was a rape of a young girl. So the three cases, and they did surveys to assess the impact of that media coverage. And they learned a couple of interesting things. So they learned that people who consume news, whether they watch it on the news or they read the local paper, develop more case knowledge. So the more often I follow the news, the more likely I'm to have detailed information about that specific case. So there's the first relationship that we look at. And then the next thing is case knowledge impacts presumption of guilt. So people who have well-developed case knowledge, they've read a lot about it and they know a lot of detail, they're more likely to think the defendant is guilty. They're more likely to have an opinion about that. And that stands out as more important than a host of things. They looked at gender, education, attitudes towards the criminal justice system. And ultimately, case knowledge was 10 times more impactful, more important than attitudes like towards the criminal justice system. So it wasn't something like, I'm just a pro-conviction person who tends to favor the government and think people are guilty. It was far more important than that when it came to these attitudes and opinions they developed.
It sounds like the field research has been important in your profession.
Yes.
Fair to say?
Yeah.
Help me understand what experimental research is.
Yeah, so these are more, again, traditional studies where we are able to control. We can look to see, maybe we're testing to see what types of pretrial publicity are most impactful. Maybe we want to know if voir dire is an effective remedy at mitigating the influence or impact. An interesting study someone recently did was looking at the set-aside question. And they were looking to see if you did something like normally what happens to the jurors on the spot. So it's like, what do you know about the case? And it's kind of like on the spot, I need to think about it and try to recall everything from memory and spout it out right there. So the remedy was, what if the person was given time to write down everything they know and think about it? Think, can they really be fair? And then come back to them and then ask them again. So they were looking at that as a remedy. So that would be an example of an experiment. And like globally, what we find is exposure to pretrial publicity impacts perceptions of guilt, and it influences the defendant's credibility, likability, and sympathy towards the defendant as well. And overall, most of the research shows that judicial remedies are not effective. We talk about admonitions, so like the judge telling the jurors are not allowed to consider media coverage, they have to set that aside. Voir dire, kind of like I was mentioning before, those don't mitigate the impact of media coverage. Delay is another one. Sometimes there's a long delay between when someone reads the coverage and when they come and do the experiment to see if that mitigates the impact. So overall, those are the key findings and takeaways from the experimental research.
All right. You have a slide in here called, I'm not going to say this word correctly, Pottauer and Singer. What's this about? How is this important?
So this is, again, just an example of some of the research. So in this study, the researchers recruited people who had been excused for jury duty, so they were at the courthouse. And they were put into two different conditions. So in one condition, the experimental condition, they read an article, and that article contained information about the defendant. It was a criminal record. And it also included a retracted confession. So they were looking at something that was inadmissible. It wasn't going to come in, I believe, in the story. And the control group read the same article absent those two pieces. Didn't mention anything about the criminal past, criminal record, or the retracted confession. And what they found, if you go to the next slide, is that there was a significant effect. So those participants who are in the experimental condition, the ones who had been exposed to the background, the criminal background information and the retracted confession, were much more likely, I can tell I'm talking too fast, were much more likely to convict and perceive the defendant as guilty compared to the control group. And that was a significant effect.
That seemed like a pretty high percentage. This is an experiment with two otherwise equal groups of people, some exposed to negative publicity and some not, and almost 30% of the people in that experimental group would have voted to convict just based on that difference alone.
So 28 percentage points higher. And again, it's a controlled study, so they're controlling for everything. So the only variable really that should be that's impacting is the fact that one group heard this negative prejudicial information, the other one didn't.
Seems like a high amount.
What's that?
That seems like a high amount.
Well, it's a significant finding. It's statistically significant.
All right. Let's talk about pretrial publicity.
Okay.
How does it impact information that you might get in China?
Yeah, so we already heard about this a bit in terms of this selective process for filtering information. So the one that really is significant for me that stands out is the belief perseverance research. I'll tell you why. And like it was mentioned, so a common study would be someone would read an essay. For example, that might be an article about why risk-taking makes you a good firefighter and people who are cautious are... That's not a good characteristic. And then someone else might be the exact opposite, where implying that cautious people are better firefighters than risk takers. And then they're asked to write an essay. And whichever one they read, they're more likely to write to support or write an essay that's consistent with what they read. And then later, when they're confronted with information that disconfirms whatever they had read and written, they're resistant to change. So, we see that in our everyday lives quite a bit. And the thing that really is significant to think about is jurors who come in as a blank slate in a normal case, who haven't been exposed to media coverage, have no opinions or attitudes that are specific about the defendant, about the evidence, about guilt. And they're just processing evidence in a controlled setting through direct examination and cross-examination. The rules of evidence apply. So they're learning and they're developing opinions. They're considering the evidence for the first time. That's the ideal situation. In a high-profile case where jurors have been exposed to a lot of coverage and they end up serving, they already have well-developed attitudes about the defendant. So opinions of the defendant. They have well-developed attitudes about the guilt, for example. And they have case knowledge that they've already been exposed to, not in a controlled setting. So maybe it's information in this case about cell tower data or information about a vehicle being seen on video or what the results of DNA tests are. And it's not under a controlled setting of direct examination and cross-examination. Another expert from the defense side where they weigh all that. It's in the context of a news story. You know, there's editorial, there's public personalities, it's Nancy Grace, all the sensationalism around it. So they're being exposed to all that, but they're also getting the information, the evidence within that context that they're going to hear at trial. So when they hear that information, it's not new, and they're not considering it and weighing it as a blank slate. What they're doing is just activating the beliefs and the knowledge structures they have, and it's just confirming what they already know. So one side is just giving you the information I already have, which strengthens it, and it makes that information more accessible in memory and so on. And then the other side is giving information that is attempting to disconfirm what I already know and believe, and it's scrutinized in a very different way. They're much more likely to reject it, they're much less likely to attend it, to store it in long-term memory, and it's really shifting the burden. So now the burden, whether intentional or not, is shifted on the defendant to change that juror's line. And that's what we see when we talk about a filter, like our knowledge is, our impressions serve as a filter for processing new information. So it's really important to think about putting yourself in the shoes of the juror and what the task is and what that's like when you already have all this information compared to a jury who doesn't have any of that information.
Sounds like a tough road that can be created by a lot of media exposure.
Can be.
Can you tell us about any studies you know about how evidence might be evaluated?
Yeah, so this is just an example again. So in this particular piece, the researchers were looking at something called pre-decisional distortion. It's kind of like disconfirmation bias. So people were exposed to negative pretrial publicity or positive pretrial publicity about the defendant. And then there was delay. So I think it was like 5 days or something like that. And they watched a murder trial where a husband was accused of murdering his wife. And it was intentionally balanced. So it was kind of like a 50-50 split of guilty, not guilty. And what they found was that at each point in time, they would stop and do a case evaluation and assessment. And people hold the evidence to be consistent or supportive of whichever leader they had. So if they had started the case where they were supporting, they had been exposed to negative pretrial publicity, they would be supporting conviction, let's say the prosecution. So they didn't look at that evidence just for the probative value, but it anchored closer to it supports conviction. It's consistent with the belief I already have. And it was consistent like that throughout the entire study versus those who maybe had seen neutral pretrial publicity. You didn't see that. So people were more likely to consider the evidence primarily for the probative value.
How about when you've had a lot of pretrial coverage and then you have a lengthy trial? What do you know about a risk of confusing where you heard the information? Yeah. By that, I mean bringing in something that you heard a long time ago that didn't sound to the
trial. Right. And think about it based on what you're saying. These studies we're talking about an effect that was discovered with maybe one or two articles, and it still had an impact. Case like this, you're talking about inundated with pretrial publicity over a significant amount of time, repeating information, and then new information that's sensational. And so it's constantly reactivating those memories and making those knowledge structures more accessible, both consciously and unconsciously. So those attitudes are even stronger. So you would expect to see an effect like this to be even more robust in a trial setting over the course of weeks, months, or whatever it is.
All right, let's talk about surveys and what you do.
Sure.
Tell me what you do when you want to do a survey.
What do I do?
Yeah.
So there's two different phases. So I don't start with I'm going to do a survey. So when I'm first asked to look at this, the first thing I do is collect a newspaper coverage. And I try to take a conservative approach. So I take the papers that have significant circulation in the county, that are based in the county. So I'm not looking, for example, at a paper in Spokane or in, Ada County. I'm just looking at the ones here. And I read that coverage and I make an assessment if there's extensive coverage and potentially prejudicial coverage. So what is the nature of the coverage? Does it include inadmissible content? Does it include a lot of detail about test results, like DNA results and things like that? So conviction prone evidence. Does it have presumption of guilt or guilt oriented detail? For example, public officials making statements about a defendant's guilt, victim families talking about that, things like that, emotional pretrial publicity, because we know from the research, the most prejudicial types of media coverage is emotional pretrial publicity, inadmissible content, and information about the defendant's character. So those are three big ones. So really looking at that. In every case is different. So in some cases, you know, it's all about the community impact, and there's candlelight vigils and memorials, and it just shocked the community. In bigger places, you don't see that as much, so it might be something very different. So it's always dependent on the case. If there is not a lot of coverage or it's very neutral and basic, I wouldn't recommend doing anything else. So it would just stop there. If it's extensive coverage or sensational coverage or something like that, we would move to this next step, which is doing a phone survey in the venue. Sometimes we do a comparison survey, sometimes we don't. Yeah.
All right. I think you told me a little bit about the analysis of the coverage, but will you again tell me what you're looking for specific to a county before you decide to do a survey?
I'm sorry, the main thing I'm looking for?
When you're deciding whether or not to do a survey.
It really depends on the case, right? So every case is different. There's no like, I'm looking for X and is there or not. Every case is unique. Every case has, like, sometimes an example would be maybe this case went to trial 5 years ago and there was a conviction and then the conviction was thrown out. So really the unique thing there is exposure or knowledge that this person's been convicted is highly prejudicial. sometimes there's a confession, and you know, we know from the research and the Supreme Court that confessions are considered one of the most prejudicial things that could be out there in terms of media coverage, that when we talk about change of venue. So maybe that's a factor. It always just depends on the case.
And do you look at the coverage to the local area you're talking about?
Yes.
What did you find for Latah County as far as coverage?
So just looking at the Moscow Pullman Daily News and the Idaho Argonaut, I found 240 articles going from 2022 to 2024, stopping in June. So I don't know what's been published since in terms of collecting the coverage. So that's the extent of the coverage in those two papers. I believe I also provided the Lewiston Daily, I think it is, or the Tribune, is that right? As well, because in the survey, a lot of people mentioned they read that paper. So I put that in there as well and turned that over. And I think that was like another 200 articles or something like that.
Do you know the total number of newspaper articles you collected from those three papers between the dates of November 13th, 2022 and June?
Yeah, so approximately 441.
Okay. Now, you've provided this chart, and you have Mr. Koberger's name highlighted at the bottom of this. Yeah. What's significant about this chart that you've presented?
So one of the tricky things is always, what is a lot of coverage? So there's no decision that I'm aware of where it says, if you have X number of articles, that's considered sufficient for a change of venue. So what I did was I pulled cases where the population or the county where the case was initially venued were between 27,500 and 62,000. And I did that because we fall somewhere in there. We're at like 32,500, I believe, 18 or over here. So I was just trying to look for a range of cases to get a decent sample size and look to see how many articles were published in those cases and what the median was, so it's not impacted by extremes. And what I found was these 16 cases that fall within that range, and the median number of articles in those 16 cases was 85. And in those 16, there were 12 change of venues granted in that case. And if you look at those which had more than 80 articles, should be 85 median, it's 78%. And Koberger would fall at the bottom right now because he's at 444. And I think, is it Daybell would have been, I think there was approximately 200 and change in that one. I know that one was recently moved to Ada County.
And these are articles from the three newspapers only, not talking about any other source of media.
Just the three papers.
Okay. Let's talk about how much media coverage there is. It's not just these three newspapers. Is that right?
Right. So I did an analysis of the coverage that's in the declaration, which is more of a qualitative analysis. So I'm not going to go through that because that would be pretty laborious. So what I have here is looking at kind of consistent, some of the television coverage and some of the information that's been spread through more informal channels, such as social media.
What did you find?
Yes. So again, like this is really looking at what people are seeing on social media and through informal communication networks. And the reason I did that is because it's a small county, and in small counties, people talk. So people are more likely to know rumors and speculation because people know the victims, they know the defendant, or someone's worked with somebody who knows the defendant or victim. So from my experience, you have a lot of information disseminated through informal communication channels and through social media in high-profile cases.
Did you find that in this case?
I did. There was quite a bit.
What are we seeing on this slide?
So this is just an example. I went on Facebook and just did one search, which was just the search term was Moscow murders, to see what would come up. And this is what we would call a results page, essentially. So if you hit play, you can see the extent of content that's out there from groups that are just talking about this case and sharing information and discussing what they think happened, and videos and posts, which may include anything from influencers and podcasters to sharing traditional news stories through, you know, local newspapers or television stories. But there's quite a bit. And again, this is just one search.
It looks like you did a screen capture so that you could show the results from one search term.
Yes. This is me just scrolling through the search engine results page from that one search term. And what you're seeing is a combination of everything. And then if you click on the tabs like posts or groups, you would see other categories. What's remarkable is the number of groups that have been created discussing this case. Some of them local, some of them national, with, you know, some of them have hundreds or thousands of members. Others have hundreds of thousands of members. So this case has captured the public's attention.
We'll just keep scrolling for a minute. I think this goes on a little bit.
Sure. These are all groups that you're looking at right now. So these are just Facebook groups that have been created talking about this case. These are videos.
And these all popped up from that one search term.
I don't think we need to advertise all these, honestly.
Okay.
We've been trying to protect from this kind of stuff.
Your Honor,
I'm aware of it. I don't look at it. I don't read it. We know it's there.
May we take a brief break, Your Honor?
Sure. Go off the record. Delay. All right. Let's get back on the record. Thank you. We're back on the record. This is State versus Koberger, case number CR 29-222805. Counsel are in the courtroom, and as does Mr. Koberger. We had a certain break here so that we could discuss about what we want to send out to the public. But we also have to make a record on that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to make sure that we have the families of the victims can observe if they want to on Zoom. Some are here. And we're going to come back at 1:30. Did I say that right, Ms. Taylor?
Yes,
Your Honor. You can correct me if you need to.
Yes, and I believe that the court will not be live streaming about the first 15 minutes after our lunch recess, and then live stream will pick back up.
Yes.
Do I understand that? But the courtroom is otherwise open?
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Yes. So it's kind of a compromise, but we thought there were certain things that maybe we don't want to send out to the public. I don't necessarily know what it all is, but I need to look at it and see it for on the record. So that's how we're setting this up. Okay, Mr. Thompson. Anything else on that or corrections?
No, Your Honor. We appreciate the court's concern. We have the same concerns, and I think this is a reasonable way to proceed. Okay. We'll reach out to all the families.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to take a break, and we'll start up at 1:30, but the first 10 minutes will not be screened. All right.
Thank you.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.